Good morning. I'd like to welcome you. My name is Zach Parker. I'm the president of the Lead School Council, Student Council, and we are sponsoring this event where we have a wonderful guest, Aaron Marshall, and he is the founder of TechShmo, which is a company that helps CEOs and corporations to more effectively and efficiently use technology to their benefit, and also ChurchShmo, which is a ministry where he helps the local church to be more efficient and effective using the internet and the great technologies that we have available. So today he'll be live feeding on the internet, as well as here you guys can participate. Afterwards, we're going to have some question and answer for students. As they see all that he does and have questions, please prepare and bring those afterwards. But he's the husband of his wife, Nicole, and they will be heading to Africa here shortly, so he can tell you a little bit more about that. But please join me with a warm welcome, Aaron Marshall.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right. All right, my mic on? Can we be heard? Awesome. Yeah, we had some technical difficulties there for a moment. We're actually, when he said live feeding, we're live streaming this through a camera that's hooked to just a normal laptop around the world right now. And I'm actually going to go see how many viewers we have at the moment. But I got a comment this morning that said we had a fellow from France, actually an IMB missionary, who would be joining us. Or look that up here real quick. But first of all, I'd just like to say I'm really excited to be here. It's going to take me a sec to pull this up. We've had all sorts of technical difficulties, including me spilling a full thing of Diet Coke across my legs. That was awesome. I think I'd rather have the internet not work. All right, let's see. All right. We'll get to that in just a second here. All right, first of all, I'm really happy to be here. I really love this stuff. I love the internet. I love social media, and I love God, and I love Christ, and I love the gospel, and all things in that circle. And so when I get a chance to get in front of people who are interested in similar things, or in it just really excites me. This is sort of pretty much the pinnacle of my career right here, is being able to stand in front of a group of students who eventually are going to be carrying the gospel around the world and talk about technology. It gets me really excited. And so I'm really happy and really grateful to be here. I've been working for the seminary for about, I would say, 6 months. And what I've been doing here is helping architect the website, the new website that we're going to be having, which is going to be awesome, by the way. I've already seen some of the original mock-ups, and it's looking beautiful, and you guys can't see them yet, but you will. And we're working a lot on social media. And has anybody noticed a influx of professors and deans on Facebook lately? All right. That's awesome. That would be what some of the work that we're doing. We're trying to get more people there where people are. So we're really excited about that. And so that's what I've been doing around the seminary, is coaching people on that and working a lot with communications in this area too. In this presentation, there's a couple things I hope to get across. And first of all, let me talk about myself for just a second so you know who I am. For the last 4 years, I've been in technology. I've been in web. I've been dealing with things, all things internet communications. And in that field, I've really found a niche in social media. And what social media is basically online tools that allow people to talk, and allow people to talk a lot, and really sink into their environments, whether that be their cell phones, their PDAs, their computers, their any way social media connects to all of those things. And so I've really found a niche there. And been working really hard there. For the last 6 months, I've had this company called TechShmo, where I've been coaching businesses and organizations, and the seminary being one of those clients. And my wife and I are actually moving to Africa in January 28th. We're moving to South Africa, Cape Town. We'll be training there for 6 months and then stay there for 3.5 years, hopefully, is our goal. And we hope to do a lot of this technology stuff. There's a lot of things going on in Africa with SMS and text messaging right now. There's whole governments changing because of the power of text messaging. And there'll be somebody in the bush on a totally backwards agriculture plow and have a cell phone to their ear, and they're able to text message. So it's pretty interesting how communication is changing, and we're really hoping to be involved in some of that while we're in Africa. So three things I hope you guys take away from this presentation. The first one is the importance and the power of social media for the purpose of ministry. We'll talk a lot about that. Number two is three practical tools you can feel good about investing time in. I'm going to load you guys up with a lot of neat technology, but I'm going to give you three technologies that you can walk home today with, start working on, and feel good about spending your time there. The last thing is the basics of how to keep you and your family safe online. And I could run over because there's a lot of content here, so that's going to be the bonus one. There's a sheet I got passed out in the back with all sorts of links I will also be providing these links on my blog afterwards. But if there's anything that you want to write down, write it on there. If questions, you can go to the blog afterwards and comment on the post that I have all of this content in. Also, we're going to have questions at the end, too. So the first technology is Ustream, and that's what we're talking about here. We're actually streaming this presentation live through the Internet, and like I said, there's somebody in France right now watching this, and there's people, I've gotten messages of people that are going to be in San Francisco that are watching this from other seminaries. There's people from Indiana watching this. I have no idea the reach of this right now, but in fact, I'm going to go look, try that again and look and see see where we're at, not to slow down the roll here, but let's see. Does anybody have it up back there? Do you have a number, a stat of how many people are watching right now? Last time I checked, it was 11. We'll go and check again here. Church. Oh. Everybody see that up on the screen? All right, so right now we have 19 viewers from around the country. And my video, he'll pop up here, but it's going to screw up the sound, so I'm going to leave it off. But through basically what this technology allows you to do with a very simple technology of plugging in a laptop or having a webcam on your... If you have a webcam and an internet access, you can set this up. There's no special software to do it. And this is really impactful for church. Right now, I go to Sojourn locally here, and right now we have it set up to where you can attend all four services live if you want to through the internet without any added cost, without any expensive CIV systems. Really, really interesting technology that is changing a lot of things. The next technology I want to show you, this is another one of my favorites. I'm going to get a picture of all you guys. So everybody smile real big. Pick the things out of your teeth. Not that my camera has that many megapixels. It'll get the things on your teeth. So there we go. All right, everybody wave. Actually, it's wide angle. I'm getting everybody in this picture. Okay, hang on. Will everybody wave to the camera for me? All right, there we go. Excellent. All right, what I'm going to try to do is afterwards load this up to Facebook, and you guys can all tag that photo. But what's really nice about it is I don't actually have to plug this camera in to get that photo to Facebook. There's a new card. It's called the iFi card. And what this card does is it's connected to the wireless networks that I'm in on a regular basis. So when I take a picture, it uploads directly through the wireless network to my blog, to Facebook, to Flickr, to anywhere I point it to go. And basically what that means is I can take a picture right now and thousands of people can see it within seconds directly from my camera without ever plugging it in. It's one of my favorite new technologies and I've been using it around the campus. It's great. It might be one of the reasons why you're seeing more photos from Dr. Moore and Albert Moeller around here. We're getting them set up on these right now. So that's a real neat technology. Next one's Shelfari. This is a neat technology. If you've ever, it's a web app, and again, this link's in there for you. If you ever have been the type that likes to recommend books to people, this is a fantastic social network. You can load all the books in there, and you can tag them and categorize them. So when somebody comes to me and asks me, hey, you know, I'm really curious, what books are you reading on missions? I can send them to a link, and they get a shelf that looks like this that sees all of my books on missions. And then what's nice about social media, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, is all social media plays well together. That's the whole goal, is talking. And this Shelfari account can plug into my Facebook page, can plug into my blog, can plug into a website, can plug into multiple places at once and feed this content so that when I do things here, it changes it there. And that's where we're going with the web, is this sort of streaming. When you change something here, it changes it in multiple places at once, and I will talk more about that. WordPress. I would recommend for the seminary, anybody around, to be using WordPress for a blogging platform. There's lots of other ones out there. The reason I really like this one is because it's an open source platform. And there's two types of WordPress, and you guys will learn that as you dive into it. But you can build websites on WordPress. Some people think it's just for blogging, but I've seen fantastic, beautiful websites being built on WordPress. In fact, we might even be building a seminary website on WordPress, if that tells you how effective this thing can be for building websites. Dr. Bryant, all right, this is going to be a little test of technology here. We're going to see if this works. Ted?
Yeah.
Dr. Bryant, I mean?
Yeah, what's up?
How are you?
Doing all right, how are you?
Good, very good. You got your video on?
I do. Do you see me?
Not yet. You want to click the video button? There we go. Oh. We had you for a second. Click it one more time. You guys can see him? No, you can see me. That's me.
It says, please close down all applications using or showing video and start the call again.
I'm going to call you right back. Want me to call you right back and try this one more time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Technical difficulties. Story of my life.
You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Let me try to start the video again.
We got you.
Hey.
Excellent. Well, everybody, I'd like to introduce you to Ted. Can you hear me okay? I'm going to introduce you real quick and tell you,
yeah,
kind of prep them for the story you're about to tell.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, cool. This is my brother-in-law, Ted Bryant, and he is a professor and a doctor at professor at Bethel College in Indiana. And about a few days ago, we were talking about Facebook, and I recently got him into a blog and into Facebook and using this stuff and using Twitter and some of the things I'm going to be showing you. And I'm going to let him share a really special story with you guys. And again, I really want to emphasize the power of these technologies to evangelize and disciple. And that's one of the big things I want to emphasize today. And so I brought Ted in because he has a really interesting story to tell about that. Ted, go ahead. If you want to say anything else about yourself, too, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, first of all, Aaron, if I get going too long, just tell me, hey, Ted, wrap it up, all right?
Sounds good.
Okay. Just a little background of who I am. I got my PhD from Notre Dame in cognitive psychology, so my main area of research is the brain and how the mind processes information, and I teach all kinds of psychology courses here at Bethel College, which is a Christian liberal arts school, small Christian liberal arts school, about 2,000 students here in South Bend, Indiana. And I was just at home on Thursday night, about a week ago or so, and my wife was upstairs watching some TV, and I need to go downstairs and check my email and a couple other things. But as a habit or as a routine, I just opened up my Facebook account because every now and then students just want to start chatting on me or with me on Facebook, which is one of the options you can have on Facebook. And so I just had that open in a separate window, and I was checking my email in another window, and all of a sudden I get this message from Aaron, and not this Aaron, but another Aaron. And he said, hey, Ted, are you there? And I said, yeah. And immediately I remembered, oh, this is an Aaron I have in class who's actually not been doing very well. He's been kind of a little bit rowdy in the back of the class, and I was actually meaning to talk with him the next day. And he said, he just started saying, how do you know if God's there? And I was like, oh boy, here we go. And I just told him right away. I said, just through chatting, so you just chat on the computer. I said, well, I know him through a lot of my experiences. I feel him. And immediately I talked about, or I asked back to him, hey, when do you feel God? Because I could tell already that this is a situation where he's a deeply experiential guy. He's a basketball player here, and he just lives for experience. And so I wanted to put it back in his court a little bit. Anyway, I don't want to get into all the details. It was about a 40-minute chat with him on the computer. But we talked about trust. So he hadn't had any experiences with God, really. He's like, I don't feel him anywhere. And so I started asking, well, who do you trust? And he says, what do you mean? I say, well, you know, someone that you can really talk to without judgment, open up to. And he's like, well, nope. And I said, well, do you trust me? Because we had never spoken. We had never even spoken in person before. And he's like, well, yeah, I guess. And I was like, well, why do you trust me? He's like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, I think part of that is you're sensing the God in me and the non-judgment. You've heard me talk in class. You've heard this stuff. And so at that point, I kind of got him involved in the conversation. And but immediately I put it back in his court. And I said, but man, life is tough sometimes. And then he just opened up. And one thing with chat on Facebook is that they can't see. And so immediately when he started opening up, I was like, oh, I got some videos. on my YouTube account, and I got another video that I can show him. And so in another window, I immediately opened up GodTube, which is like a YouTube, but not nearly as prolific, and it's mainly, obviously, God-related stuff. But there's a video on there called Inheritance that I want him to watch. And then on my Facebook, I went ahead, and while he's chatting to me, I opened up a video on YouTube. And so I knew in the back of my mind, here are two videos that I would love to have him watch because they're so powerful. And so we got back into, he was done talking on chat a little bit, so it was my turn to talk again. And, of course, being a psychologist, I validated all of his feelings and about how rough life is, you know, and because it's true. I mean, he had a lot of bad things happen. But then he mentioned something about, does God ever just give up? And Ted, does God ever just give up? Because I've done so many bad things. And that's what I was waiting for. You know, I was waiting for to see where really was this, what I believe is one of the lies from the enemy of what was really causing a lot of this. And it was because he was too bad. He had done too many bad things. And so I told him, I was like, hey, I got this video. Do you want to watch it? And he's like, sure, you know, whatever. And so I told him, go to GodTube, and I had it all ready so that he could type in this one thing, and he would watch the video. And he watched it, and afterwards he said this. I have actually printed out the chat history of our conversation, just so I wouldn't forget it. And he said, I honestly don't even know what to say. I don't even know. I said, so what do you feel? So I wanted to get back to his experience. And he said, I don't know. I just cried the whole time. And I said, sometimes that's what happens when God's giving you a hug, Aaron. He is real. And he is reaching out. And he just kept coming back to, well, why would you want to love somebody like me? And I'm not going to lie, I'm not a good person. And then I talked a little about, you know, John 3:17 and some other things. But I knew I still had this one other video that, I wanted so badly to watch. But I could tell he's kind of getting tired. And so, being, once again, a psychologist, I knew, especially as a male athlete, if I could somehow tap into his, you know, toughness or something. And so I said, hey, I got one more video. Do you think you can handle it? Of course, he said, yeah, of course, can handle it. So I had him go to my Facebook page, my home page, because we were chatting through Facebook. And so I had him just go to my home page. And I already had the video loaded up for him, right? And I said, hey, just click on that video and watch. And the video is called The Most, The Bridge. That's from the movie The Most. Some of you might have seen it. It's this 7-minute-long video about a father who has a son. The father engineers a railroad bridge, a drawbridge. And long story short, he has to make a decision. His son fell down in the area where the gears are. And as a train is plowing towards the bridge, the dad has to make a decision. Am I going to kill my son, or am I going to kill all these people on the train? He doesn't know the people, and he've already had scenes of the people on the train. There's people making out, there's people doing drugs, there's people sleeping. They are completely unaware. Anyway, it's a super powerful video. And he watches it. And then he comes back and we chat some more. And his reaction to this was, wow. Why would God do that for us? And I talked a little bit about he's all loving. It's who he is. Going back to the inheritance video that he already saw. And then I talked about Paul and his history of basically hunting down some of the earlier followers of Christ before God got a hold of him. And I chatted him on stuff like, dude, if God can turn that guy around and be one of the most renowned Christ followers and help write half the New Testament, I think he can handle us. I really think he can handle you and me. And I'm almost done here. I don't take too much more of your time. But basically, there was another about 15 minutes of talk, of chatting. And at the end he said, I just texted my friend, we're meeting over at the prayer chapel. He said, seriously, you have no idea what this has done for me. And I come to find out the next day, he sends me an email saying that he went over to the prayer chapel, he gave his life to Christ first. And he said his life's changed. And of course he has a long road ahead of him, but I wasn't even supposed to be on the computer that night. I mean, I just happened to open it up, and God just happens, as he often does, likes to use you wherever you are. And Facebook and Twitter and all that type of stuff, for me, it opens up another avenue for God to use me in a language that the students understand, that they feel comfortable. It's their territory. And again, this is my belief. This is God came to us. This is one of my ways that I go to the students. They may not want to come to my office. I hope they do. Sometimes they do. But this is me going to their office. This is me going to their life. And that's just one of the stories that I've had. And Aaron asked me to share that. I'm still deeply humbled and honored that God would use me like that. But gives me a lot of hope now. Whenever I'm on, I open up Facebook just in case there's something going on. So anyway, that's a little bit of my story.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Ted. And tell us about your blog for just a second and what you're kind of doing there and how that's working with some of your students.
Sure. So I have a blog, www.tedbryant.org, that Aaron helped set up for me. And I've been trying to journal for years. And I don't know. I don't know what my problem is. I just have a hard time journaling. And yet I know God wants me to record my thoughts. And I have all these thoughts and insights during the day. I've never been able to write them down. But through this blog, for some reason, I type so much better than I write. Handwriting, I don't like handwriting. I don't know what it is. But I can type this in, my thoughts, and I can integrate my family, my classroom, stuff going on at my church. I have a non-for-profit organization that I'm starting up. And all these things can come together. And for my students, I tell them, hey, check this out. And quite a few of them follow me on it. And some of the comments I've had is that, you know, Ted, you talked about in class how God shouldn't just be at the top of our list. He should be the center of what we do. And we shouldn't compartmentalize our faith. And they've said, through your blog, I see how you try to make him the center. He's the center of your family, your service to the community, your classroom. You don't have these compartments. And so the blog for me is just, the tagline for me is, it's a witness to the adventure I've been given. And it's a way in which I can be a witness to how God is the center of my life, at least how I try. And I have plenty of issues, but how I try to keep him the center of my life. And once again, if people want to, it's just a way to see that. And it's been amazing.
Well, Ted, we're really thankful for you being here. And thank you for coming in. We're gonna peace out here. But if you'll wave at everybody. I wish I could turn the camera around. There's probably 50 people in the room, and there's probably 17 people online watching right now. So
cool.
Thanks so much for doing that, Ted.
No problem. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So everybody liked that? Pretty interesting. Now, what I was using there was a technology called Skype, and a lot of people know what Skype is and are using Skype, but a lot of people don't. And you can actually get a live video feed. I was doing this with my friend in Japan. We'll be doing this with my family when we're in South Africa. You can get these video feeds in basically anywhere in the world. So I want to kind of climb into, and about the story, I want to kind of recap on that for a second. We're going to talk more about what that means in evangelism and discipleship using social media and sort of clarify it, and then also give you guys some practical steps on how you can be using these tools to do that. But when you get online, there are a ton of social media, social network tools out there. In fact, I would guess that these logos right here are just some of them, and we could probably fill all the walls, the ceiling, and the floor with logos of services that exist. Web 2.0 social media services. And they all play well together. This is the beautiful thing about these things. They all play well together, so they all fit in certain ways. But the problem is there's too many. And so my goal has been for church and ministry and leadership is to help them, help guide them towards where they need to be putting the gas on. Because that's really our day-to-day problem is we're busy enough. It's just another thing to do. But it's obvious that this is a really important place to be. I mean, I'm sure there's nobody in this room that doesn't know 10 people that are on Facebook. And it's just where people are. It's a part of rhythm of life now, and we got to start accepting it. But I hope to give you some tools so that you don't get overwhelmed by it and lose your religion. So there's three tools I want to focus you guys in on. RSS feeds, Facebook, and Twitter. And all of these, again, are on these sheets that you can do. But I basically have narrowed down on these, that if you can understand these and start using these tools, it'll be a good place to begin investing your time, and you'll have a lot more effect than if you're trying to use everything that's out there. There's a lot of different social networks that'll pull you in, like I was saying. So first, let me start with RSS, and the reason I start with RSS is because I think it's a building block technology to the web. Right now, a lot of people see websites, and they see a static page. We create content, you come to our website. Well, that's not how people are using the web anymore. That's not how the web works anymore. And it's because of technologies like RSS feeds. And what RSS feeds are, and I'm going to actually, there's actually a nice little video I'm going to show you here, is it streams the content out. So websites are no longer static. They're these things that are pushing content to other websites. And you might not know it, but you're using RSS feeds basically every time you turn on the web. If you have a Google page or a Net5's page, these are other ways that you can use it. We're going to talk about that here in a second. But let me jump into this video. And there's all sorts of videos like this too online. I want to really emphasize that the stuff that I'm teaching you right now and talking about, you can type in nearly anything into Google, how to X, and you can figure out how to do anything that you want to do. And usually there's somebody that's created a video for it on top of that.
The internet has problems. Technomati says there's over 50 million blogs, and you can see it's going up. This is overwhelming. Today's show is about a new and efficient way to keep up with all this cool stuff that's happening on the internet. So I'm going to talk about two ways that you can keep up with what's happening on the web. There's the old slow way. Boo! Then there's the new fast way. Yay! Here's the difference between new and the old way. This is you, and here are your favorite websites. You log on to your computer, and you're looking for something new. So you go out to your favorite blogs. Is there anything new there? Nope. You go out to your favorite news sites. Is there anything new? Nope. Every time you look for something new and it's not there, you've wasted valuable time. This is the old way. Now, let's consider the new and fast way, which is simply taking these arrows and turning them the other way, which means that the new things from blogs and the new things from your news sites comes to you instead. It's like Netflix compared to the video store. So what we're talking about is using a single website that becomes your home for reading all the new stuff that's coming from your favorite websites. There are two steps for getting started. The first step is you need a home for reading the new posts. This is a website called a Reader. They are free, and all you need is an account. I use a site called Google Reader. It looks like this. My favorite sites are listed on the left, and on the right, I can scroll through all the new posts from my favorite sites in a single place. So, to complete step one, you need to go sign up for a Reader at Google Reader, Bloglines, NewsGator, MyYahoo are good places to start. Step number two is to set up a connection between your Reader and your favorite websites. Setting up these connections is called subscribing, and it's really important. Nearly every blog and news site offers the ability for you to subscribe so that updates from these sites show up here in your Reader. To set up these subscriptions, you just need to look for funny little icons. This is the standard one using the standard orange color. You may also see these. These little icons say, "Hey, look, subscribe to me. I can save you time." Once you find one of these buttons on your favorite site, click on it, and the page that opens up will give you everything you need for subscribing. After you click that button, one of two types of pages are likely to appear. This is one that provides one-click access to subscribing in your news reader. The other page you're likely to see looks like this, with code on it. If you see this page, copy the URL out of the page, go to your reader, and look for a link that says Add Subscription or Add Feed, and click on that and paste the link into your reader. So once you've added those subscriptions and the connection is there, new posts will start arriving in your reader, and you'll see why this is the new, faster way to read the web. It's addictive, so be careful. So, a quick recap. There are two things you need to do. Number one is go sign up for a reader. Number two is to go to your favorite websites, click on the icon, and subscribe. I'm in the fever, and this has been RSS in Plain English on the Common Craft Show.
There we go. And I love these videos. This is actually, I think I watched this video. This is the first thing that actually clicked for me when I got on RSS feeds and started using them. And RSS feeds really changed my life, in fact. The level of content that I was trying to take in at the time was, and how I was trying to do it was, the logical thing would be go to sign up for everybody's newsletters. Well, that was a horrible idea, because the next morning I went in to check my email, and amidst all of my customer and client emails, I had a stack of all of this just junk that I couldn't read right then. And so it was a misuse of my email, and email was, you know, being abused by my newsletters that I was getting. And then unsubscribing was a real bear. It didn't seem like anybody had the same way to unsubscribe, and somehow I got subscribed to ones I didn't mean to subscribe to, so email was not the effective way to do it. When I discovered RSS feeds, I was suddenly able to read 60 websites a day from my phone. And I actually have an application that pushes websites from the web down to my phone, and whenever I want, wherever I'm at, which drives my wife crazy because I read RSS feeds in bed, but I can click a button and be reading across 60 websites, catching up on news when I'm ready for it, not when it's being pushed at me through email. And it really gives me a way. A lot of people are complain about, it's information overload. Well, we're beyond information overload. We're now at the point where it's information that we need to know. And it's stuff that's changing our world, and it's moving fast, and we have to keep up with it. So either we can keep whining about information overload, or we can start using some of the tools that will allow us to keep up. And RSS feeds, by far, is one of the best tools to do that. And again, this is where the rest of the internet kind of connects, is that RSS feeds are pushing to other websites. So when you get content that's pushing, it can push to a sidebar of a website, it can push to a phone, it can push to a Facebook page. And that's basically the technology that even drives a lot of the things I'm about to show you here. Two things I recommend using are NetVibes. Again, these are links in there. NetVibes and Google Reader. NetVibes is more to pull all of the things I'm going to be showing you together. You can log in and manage these different accounts from one place, which is really convenient. Google Reader is more for your avid, you want to read a bunch of websites, and it basically creates one blog of all the greatest blogs that you like, and it's customized to you. The next topic is my favorite topic. This is my favorite social network, and I can see friends nodding in here because they know how hard I push Twitter. I really believe in Twitter. I think it's an incredible technology, and social networking has always been based around the question of what are you doing right now? What pictures are you taking? What's going on in your life? And Twitter answers that simple question. And there's another video I'm going to show you. It's only a minute and a half, a lot shorter than the last one. But I want to share a couple stories before I show that video. With Twitter, for specifically in leadership, I was working with Chad Lewis. He's a pastor at Sojourn. And they really want to connect with the body. They want to create a family style relationship, but it's really hard to open your life to 1,400 people. It's really hard to do two-way communication with 1,400 people. In fact, it's impossible. And so how do you open up your life? How do you be intimate with people without being overloaded? Twitter is an awesome tool for this, and the pastors over there will attest to this, that this is a great way to be connecting with your body without being overwhelmed. The next story I want to talk about is when I was in church, and I was one of the first people on Twitter in Louisville, and except for the people I worked with at the time, it was the company I was at. I would sit in church, and I would Twitter things that the pastor was saying. And, there were pretty tough things to hear for some people that I worked with, because Monday morning, I had some pretty interesting conversations. And I worked in a very secular workplace, and it opened up conversation and built relationship with people. And they not only got to see things I was hearing on Sunday, but they got to see what I did on a day-to-day basis and my attitude when I was driving to work and had to hit traffic, and what happened when we went through some health things in our lives, and how we dealt with that. We were posting all of this stuff, and a lot of non-Christian people were following us and be affected by it, and talking to us about it. I'm going to tell another story about that here in a minute, but first I'm going to jump over this video, and this is just going to explain Twitter for those of you who don't know what it is. And I highly, if I do this whole presentation and you guys walk away with one thing, just go sign up for Twitter. If you didn't hear anything else I said, go sign up for this. Go try it out. It's really a powerful tool for connecting. And for leadership, it is a must right now. And I can name a long list of leaders that are on this right now that they'll also attest to the power of this. So,
what are you doing? It's one of the first questions we often ask friends and family. Even if the answer is just mowing the lawn or cooking dinner, it's interesting to us. It makes us feel connected and a part of each other's lives. Unfortunately, most of our day-to-day lives are hidden from people that care. Of course, we have email and blogs and phones to keep us connected, but you wouldn't send an email to a friend to tell them you're having coffee. Your friend doesn't need to know that. But what about people that want to know about the little things that happen in your life? Real life happens between blog posts and emails, and now there's a way to share. This is Twitter in plain English. Thanks to Twitter, it's possible to share short, bite-sized updates about your life and follow the updates of people that matter to you via the web. Here's how it works. Meet Carla. She's addicted to her mobile phone, reads blogs every day, and has contacts all over the world. She heard about Twitter and was skeptical. After some of her friends couldn't stop talking about it, she gave it a try. She signed up for free and saw that Twitter pages look a little like blogs with very short posts. Each page is personal and has updates from friends. She got started by looking up her friends on Twitter.com. After finding a few, she clicked follow to start seeing their updates on her Twitter page. Within hours, she began to see a different side of people she chose to follow. She didn't know that Stephen in Seattle was a baseball fan, or that Julia in London was reading a new investment book. The little messages from Twitter painted a picture of her friends, family, and coworkers that she'd never seen before. It was the real world. Soon, she became a fan of Twitter and posted updates every day. Her friends followed her updates and learned that she recently discovered a passion for Van Halen. They could see Carla's life between blog posts and emails. For Carla, Twitter worked because it was simple. The updates were always short, under 140 characters. Plus, she could post updates and follow her friends using the Twitter website, software on her browser, a mobile phone, or instant messages. By asking members to answer the question, "What are you doing?" Carla found that Twitter brought her closer to people that matter to her, 140 characters at a time. Find out what your friends are doing at Twitter.com. I'm Lee LaFever, and this has been Twitter in Plain English on The Common Craft Show.
I just love those little videos. They make it so much simpler. So that's Twitter. And again, and just to emphasize some of the things he said, he's explaining on a very simple level on how people are using it. And I certainly use it this way. My family, I was able to get them on Twitter, I have my my grandparents are on Twitter, 73 years old. And they follow our updates. And occasionally they'll post things like, you know, we bought a new beagle. Or, buying a new bed today. You know, not very interesting stuff, but I never talk to my grandparents, so knowing a little bit about what's going on in their lives is a really great thing. And then on top of that, my parents are on it, which is totally fantastic to see what's going on in their lives. They love seeing what's going on with us. I have a friend who's headed to Central Asia on a mission trip, and they just had a baby, and they set up a Twitter account for their newborn. And they took it to the parents, grandparents, and set it up on their phone so that they can get text message updates, and they won't even follow their kids. They'll follow their grandkids on Twitter, and they'll get updates regularly like, oh, you know, I'm walking today, or not, she's not walking yet, I'm crawling today, or I'm really fussy today. And it's just a really fun thing and an easy way for people to connect. Now, how this works for leaders, obviously I'm talking to the lead school people here, it gives you a way to talk to a lot of people, to speak a lot of truth into a lot of people all at one time. So when you're in the morning meditation, and you're thinking about something, and you want to challenge a bunch of people to something, this is a fantastic way to post a little update. Hey, what do you guys think about this? You can ask questions. You can post links to videos, post links to pictures, anything you want through this. So you're able to direct people towards good content. I'm going to talk more about that, too, and wasted influence here in a second. The next one I want to talk about is Facebook. And Facebook and Twitter kind of tie together, in my opinion. There's an application that allows you to, once you update Twitter, it'll automatically up what's called a Facebook status. On Facebook, you have a place where it asks, what are you doing? Well, obviously, you don't want to be saying, what are you doing in both of those at the same time, or saying things into both of them, different things. You want to keep it pretty succinct. And plus, you can do it from your cell phone if you're using Twitter, which is very convenient. But Facebook, and I want to start with a story here, incredibly powerful tool. And when I get on Facebook, I see immediately, a ton of wasted influence. I see a lot of information flying through there that is just sort of arbitrary and uninteresting, and nobody's really saying anything that's lighting people up in this area. And I see a lot of people reading it. If anybody knows, they know that the people around us right now are spending a lot of time on Facebook. It's a very normal rhythm of life. And I keep talking about Twitter and status updates because I think that's one of the most important aspects of social networks. So when you go home and when you work on anything, again, if you just do Twitter, focus on that status update, talking about things you're reading, talk about things you're thinking about, meditations and whatnot, and then sync it up with Facebook, and you don't even have to go to Facebook, and it'll just update automatically. But basically, typing in what you're doing and the things you're thinking, open up your life to people on Facebook. And I want to share a story. My wife, about 9 months ago, she got on Facebook, or she didn't want to get on Facebook, and I was trying to talk her into it. I'm like, honey, you're going to be fine. She admitted to me, she said, well, I'm afraid I'm not going to get any friends on Facebook. And I said, honey, that's not possible. You know, you're going to get friends. And at that point, I had 170 friends myself. She got online. In 3 days, she had 300 friends. And I was just, she was lording that over me, and I went to her wall post, and I said, honey, you're so hot when you're viral. And that's cute between us. We're kind of geeky like that. But anyway, my wife got on this, and she started doing these things. She started posting what was going on in our lives. And during this time in our life, after she had just gotten on here, we had some health issues happen. We were deciding to go to Africa at the same time. And we were just having a lot of life change that was happening. And we just committed to kind of being transparent and sharing that with people. And one right after the other, we would get teary-eyed emails from people, messages from people, people wanting to connect with us, people inspired to go to missions, people coming to the Lord. I mean, all these things were happening because of the internet, and because of the things that we were doing there. And it was just really powerful. And so that's what really lighted me up on this topic. And so I started really sharing this and how to use it. Let me see. So again, wasted influence, transformed and transparent is basically how I explain this. If you'd have known me 6-7 years ago, I am a radically different person than I am from 6 years ago. Just radically different. My language was different. The types of pictures I might have posted on Facebook if I would have had it would be way different. And the types of things I were doing on a day-to-day basis would be much different than what I'm doing today. And even from 3 years ago, my life is different. Even from 6 months ago, my life is different. I'm being transformed because of the gospel, because of what Christ did and what he's doing in my life. And these tools, Twitter and Facebook, have given me a way to share that process with people. And as I've shared that process just openly and honestly, I've seen other people come to the Lord and to know Christ. And I've seen other people be discipled through these things. And I've really taken some serious effort realizing that this is where people are spending their time. This is where people are spending their energies, and you know, some way too much, and there is an addiction problem there that you have to learn how to address. But if we're not there, we're not even going to know how to address it. So I really want to emphasize on how important this is for evangelism and discipleship. Another story is I've got a guy that our schedules just do not mesh. Like when I'm working, he's not, and when he's working, I'm not, and it's just totally back and forth. But through Facebook, I'm actually able to do a what's called a Facebook video. We're going to go ahead and do one right now just for fun. Facebook gives this really cool tool that you only have to click one button and you're recording a video, and you can send a video real quickly to somebody. So how I would use this on a day-to-day basis with this guy, and I am going to shoot a video. We're going to shoot one to Dan Dumas and see maybe get something funny out of him. But I will send a video to this guy that I'm discipling, and I'll ask him tough questions. But it's about every other day I'll send him a video, be like, hey, what's going on in your life, man? And, Give me a definition of what is the gospel. And he'll send me a video back, and it fits because our schedules just don't fit, and it gives me a way to just quickly, you know, say something, and text just does not do the same thing as a video. And so let me show you how this works. So you type in the person you want to send it to, Dan Dumas here, record a video. Everybody see that, how easy that was? I clicked record video, and this little screen thing popped up here. We're like, all right. Hey, Dan, Aaron Marshall here. I'm sending you a video from in front of a crowd, in front of people that are online, and just wanted to know if you were listening. So here we go. And I can play that back, or I can reset that if I didn't feel good about it. But I go ahead and attach it and send it. And bam, it's that easy. I basically just sent a video email in a few seconds using some of this new technology. And did I mention that everything I'm doing today is free? All these technologies don't cost any money other than internet access or buying a card. I mean, this stuff's like super cheap, and this is what making this very interesting is all of you now are equipped to be strong communicators, and that's really what I want to emphasize too is a lot of people think, oh, you're a techie or you're a geek or you're into the internet or whatever. I really love communications. What really fires me up is people talking, is relationships, is people having more conversation around more things. And all if this wasn't there, I would still be passionate about that. But now that this is here, there's this whole new way that we can be having conversation. This global conversation is now happening, and anybody's able to join it through some of these tools just very simply. And it just excites me to no end.